Let's pray together, shall we, before we begin tonight. Father, as we approach one of the most exciting passages of Scripture, I just ask for complete calm, Father, upon us, that the peace of Jesus may still all the events of the day, and that, Father, we should give ourselves up, even tonight, to the study of the Word of God. Father, we know how central the Word of God is, and, Father, as we approach these last days, it's becoming more and more essential. Father, may we have the reality that the words that I speak tonight may actually be used during the period that we're talking about to perhaps save some people. May we understand, Father, that these tapes that are being produced tonight may go right through into the period of the tribulation and be heard by people experiencing these things. And Father, we're praying in Jesus' name for an anointing. Should that be the case, for an anointing upon all those who listen and hear. Father, please show us that these things are not just theological visions, but Father, they are deep reality, and reality which is coming on the earth. Father, we just lift Jesus high. We know, Lord, that today is the day of salvation. We know, Father, that today is the day when grace is freely available. And Father, I pray that we might be more urgent in our evangelism, that we should desire to see people saved. Father, tonight, as we talk about the abomination of desolations, Father, I want to pray in Jesus' name that you will deal with religion in each one of our lives. Father, we know that religion, Father, is the worst thing and the worst enemy of the truth. For, Father, it stops us coming into reality. It is ritual without reality. And, Father, I ask that if there be any religious ways within us, you will deal with those ways so that we come through to the reality of the word of truth, that we might live in the word, and that we might obey all your precepts, Father. Father, and all your judgments that are so clearly declared. Father, we ask that you and you alone may be glorified tonight. Just come and walk among us. And Father, will you just make the words scintillating? May they, Father, burn in our hearts. That, Father, we should truly go away from this place and know that we have communed deeply with Jesus tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Tonight we come to the subject of the 70 weeks of Daniel, the prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now we're making good progress. We are, of course, in the middle of a course which deals with unfulfilled prophecy or things to come, and we've seen some very, very important principles which we have gone over during the last few weeks. Last time I dared to ask a certain question. The question was, will the Church of Jesus Christ go through the period which the Bible calls the tribulation? And I want you to know that not only last week's talk is on that subject, but tonight's talk is really on that subject, and next time's talk as well, because it really is going to take three talks to discuss it. Last time we saw some very important things. We saw, for example, that whenever the tribulation is talked of in the Old Testament, it's always talked of literally and specifically in terms of the Jewish nation, in terms of Jerusalem, and in terms of the land of Israel. There is absolutely no indication anywhere that the church is going to be involved in that particular period. And you'll remember, having stated that fact, we then went on to see a little more about the mystery of the church. This wonderful principle, which quite clearly stated, says this, that nowhere in the Old Testament is the church specifically mentioned. And in fact, where the church ought to be mentioned, there is just a gap, there is total silence, and history seems to jump straight over it and to carry on as if nothing had happened. All right, we saw certain examples of that. And you'll remember the exciting note that we ended on. We saw an amazing thing, that Rome, the Roman Empire, which was, but which at the present time isn't anymore, has a future. And that the day is coming when the Roman Empire is going to rise again. It was, it is not, but it is to come. Now, all of those things are necessary as we approach tonight's subject of the 70 weeks of Daniel. For this section of Daniel underlines everything that we saw last time. In fact, the 70 weeks of Daniel, the prophecy of the 70 weeks, has been described as the most crucial passage in the field of prophecy. I love it so much. It's only four verses. But I love it so much because it's always the part of Scripture that gives people who don't take prophecy literally the most trouble. They always come to Daniel 70 weeks and they have to scratch their heads mighty hard over it. In fact, I've been very amused. I did it just this morning. I started reading books that actually take prophecy in a sort of spiritual type of way, and I looked up the 70 weeks, and some of them didn't deal with it at all, sort of hoping that if they don't deal with it, no one will notice and pretend it will go away. Others, in fact, one book in particular that I looked at, it didn't just end the book on the Daniel 70 weeks, it put it right at the end of all the editions, the appendices to the book, and then it gave it just about one page, one very small page too, and more or less just dismissed it and said, well, this really, everyone quotes that, but really it's not important, full stop. You know, and just left it like that. I read also a paper written by a man who's looking into the whole millennial issue, and he's coming to the conclusion that prophecy shouldn't be taken literally. And right at the end of this thing, do you know what he says? He says, concerning Daniel 70 weeks, I haven't come to any conclusions yet. Stuff and left it like that. And that's the way they try and get round it. But of course, people who take the Bible literally, they always turn to this passage. I would say as a rule of thumb, by the way, that if you want to know the standpoint that the author of a book of prophecy takes, then always look up Daniel 70 weeks first. And after that, then go to Revelation 20. And when you've seen how they deal with those two passages, you will understand exactly what viewpoint they actually take. All right, now we're in Daniel, and Daniel 9, but before we get to the four verses, I want to just set the scene. So let's turn to Daniel and chapter 9, and we'll begin verse 1. We'll begin verse 1. And I'll read verse 1 through. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Now there's the first statement.